Hi, everybody. Welcome to Friday of the 16th week of Ordinary Time. Looking forward to seeing you this weekend for Sunday Mass. It's good to be back after a week being away from all of you on a Sunday liturgy. But today we also celebrate the feast of St. Bridget of Sweden. Here's a lady that was, again, from Sweden, married at the age of 13, had 8 children, lived a happy married life for 28 years. Her husband dies. She moves to Rome. And apparently a woman of incredible impact. She's writing letters to the Pope, getting him to get back to Rome as opposed to being in Avignon, which somehow he ended up at during the 1300s, along with St. Catherine of Siena. She's one of the great ladies of that time, who really was one of the great prophets and teachers of that time, especially to the Pope. And she traveled to the Holy Land. This lady has been around, you know, and kind of very modern kind of a way. But before any kind of women's liberation, she was one liberated lady for sure. So they pray for the intercession of St. Bridget of Sweden. And let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Jesus loves you very, very much. We ask him now for his tender, loving mercy. And Lord Jesus, you are the way, Lord, have mercy. You are the truth, Christ, have mercy. And you are the life, Lord, have mercy. And may Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. And let us pray. O God, who guided St. Bridget of Sweden along different paths of life, and wondrously taught her the wisdom of the cross as she contemplated the passion of your Son, grant us, we pray, that walking worthily in our vocation, we may seek you in all things. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus. In those days, God delivered all these commandments. I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that place of slavery. You shall not have other gods besides me. You shall not carve idols for yourselves in the shape of anything in the sky above, or in the earth below, or in the waters beneath the earth. You shall not bow down before them or worship them, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, inflicting punishment for their father's wickedness on the children of those who hate me down to the third, fourth generations, but bestowing mercy down to the thousandth generation on the children of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave the unpunished, him who takes his name in vain. Remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. 6 days you may labor and do your work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. No work may be done either by you or your son or daughter or your male and female slave or your beast or by the alien who lives with you. In the 6 days the Lord created or made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord has blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that you may have a long life in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male or female slave, nor his ox or ass, nor anything else that belongs to him. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Hear the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of God without understanding it and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word of God and receives it at once with joy, but has no roots, it lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, and then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word of God and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So, I'm struggling here to find words that would describe my college career. And let's just simply say it was less than stellar. I eventually landed on a degree in education, but as a symbol of my confusion and my wandering, I ended up with 4 different minors, given the fact that I had actually tried to major in 4 other different things before I finally ended up in education. I guess all of that is something I would love to forget. But the reason I bring that up is to bring up a course that I took in the midst of all of this, which is called statistics. A course I would love to forget. Surprised me, actually, this course. Of course, I can't forget. What did Mark Twain say about statistics? And I can't give the quote actually as he says it because this is a family broadcast. He said something like, there's lies, there's really big lies, and then there are statistics. But anyway, so in my course in statistics, the professor said that we, at all the exams, we were welcome to use the charts, the tables, and the equations that were in the back of the book that are all part of an essential way of understanding how to solve problems in statistics. So I'm thinking, this is going to be easy. You know, I just have to look back at the chart or the table, and I can find the answer to the problem. But little did I know that if you don't really understand, you don't really grasp the depth of these charts and tables, these equations, they're actually no help to you at all. And they're just like there. And just to know that they're there doesn't help you a bit. And so I had a lot of studying to do in this course on statistics. And I bring all of that up for you today because the first reading, first of all, in the Ten Commandments, which I, as a kid, of course, memorized. If you asked me the number of the commandment, I could tell you exactly what it is. And I could kind of quote it for you. I probably wrote it over and over again in grade school. Because when we were in grade school and the teachers wanted to punish us, they made us write the Ten Commandments over and over again. So I know the Ten Commandments, I memorized them, but I didn't have a deeper understanding or meaning of the Ten Commandments. Like, for example, what if someone steals to save someone's life? How do we honor a parent who commits adultery? How does one really keep the Sabbath holy if you're a single mom and you have to work on Sundays? To be able to answer those things, you have to know things on a much, much deeper level. And all that then brings me to the gospel here today, where Jesus sows his word. To just simply memorize it or to understand just the words of his word doesn't help a whole lot. You have to grasp, he is saying to us, the deeper meaning in all this. And in this gospel today, we're getting to see a little bit of the defeats and the failures and the struggles of the early church and all of this. And we get a kind of glimpse of them trying to grasp in their struggles and their difficulties this word of Jesus Christ that would be able to be the thing that would help them through all these struggles in life. So, like them, we need to understand God's word. We need to grasp God's word deeply. We need to know the Ten Commandments deeply. We have to act. We have to bear fruit. We have to do it. We just can't know these things on a superficial kind of a level. We just can't know these things just to get an A on the test, we somehow have to be able to apply these things to our very lives. And so I want to conclude all this by sharing something from a brother. Guy Consomagno. Guy Consomagno is the director of the Vatican Observatory and the president of the Vatican Observatory Foundation and an expert in astrophysics. Someone that knew his equations, knew his tables, and knew his statistics. And he writes this, which I think about himself as a teacher and himself also as an astrophysicist, that'll help us to grasp the deeper meaning of the Ten Commandments in the gospel here today. He writes, Jesus explains this in today's gospel. The law of God comes alive only in a place where it can grow and take root. We need to work to remove the thorns, the stones that stunt the law, keeping it from nothing more than dry rules, which oftentimes the Ten Commandments can be for all of us. Our proper response to the law is not mere obedience, but a deeper knowledge and a love of the lawgiver. Thus, the commands of God become the words of everlasting life for all of us. Here's my question for today. What are the walking paths, the rocky ground, the thorns in your life that keep you from bearing much fruit? God bless you, and looking forward to seeing you this weekend, this Sunday. After being away for a week, it'll be good to see all of you. Bye-bye.